Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Next 4 Years, the show about surviving the young adult life. My name is Connor Payton, and I'll be your host. This show features in-depth interviews and conversations with friends, coworkers, and other young adults regarding life post-college. Hopefully you'll laugh, hopefully you'll cry, but most of all, hopefully you will learn something and be able to apply it to your own life. I want to take a quick second to thank everyone who has listened to the first few episodes of this podcast. I've had so many people send me messages about how much they love the content and have already started applying some of the topics covered into their own lives. I really appreciate everyone listening and hope you continue to do so. If I could ask you to leave a 5-star review on iTunes, it will really help people find the show and then we can get the content out to more listeners. I'll give you a shout out in a future episode as a way of saying thanks. My guest today is my good friend Bailey McNeil, a project manager for the healthcare company Epic. Bailey has bounced around a little bit so far, growing up in Colorado, going to college in Texas, and now she lives in Madison, Wisconsin. In this episode, we discuss leadership, the fear of the unknown, and why she doesn't make long-term goals. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode with Bailey McNeil.
This is The Next 4 Years with Connor Payton.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of The Next 4 Years. I'm really excited about this one. I'm interviewing an old friend of mine, Bailey McNeil. Bailey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm still down here in Texas where we met. We met at TCU, but you're up in Wisconsin, huh?
Yeah, I moved up to Wisconsin right after college.
That's really exciting. I definitely want to get into that, but I'm trying something new here. I want to start you off with just kind of a fun question or a request, at least. I know you're a big music person, and we've talked about concerts a lot in the past. Can you pitch me the most recent concert you've been to?
The most recent concert? Oh, it must have been... I haven't been to a lot lately. It would have been Ellie Goulding this past May for the third time.
You saw Ellie Goulding for the third time?
Yeah, I really love her. I'm mildly obsessed.
So. I follow her on Instagram, and she's like so fit and inspirational.
Right. She's like very environmental friendly and has all this fit stuff. I love her.
Where did you see her?
In Chicago, outside Chicago. Yeah. Not a lot of great concerts come through Madison, because it's kind of small, but Chicago's close enough.
Why should I go see her? I mean, I like her music. She's really interesting. Like, are her shows fun? Is the crowd great?
Yeah, the crowd is great. She is phenomenal live. Like, way better, I think she's way better in live. She's got a phenomenal voice, and she plays guitar, and she's super energetic, and she really interacts with the crowd a lot. It's just a really fun atmosphere.
Awesome. I would love to go see her sometime if she ever comes through Dallas or one of those festivals that I go off to. I work for iHeartRadio now, so I get to go to a lot of concerts.
Oh, yeah.
But I just haven't gotten an opportunity to see her, so I'll make that on my list. Okay, great. Definitely wanted to ask you that because you are a big music person, but let's wind it back a little bit. You and I met in college at TCU. We lived next door to each other on university.
Yeah, we did. We climbed on the roof together a couple times.
Right. We would park the trucks in between our duplexes and climb up on the roof. That was a lot of fun. And yeah. We were all kind of really great friends. There were 6 of you girls in that duplex, and you guys were all in the same sorority, Gamma Phi, and we had 3 of us boys living next door, and we all kind of just became best friends with each other. It was really a fun experience, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it was really fun, and I felt like it was very unexpected. We were like, oh my gosh, there's boys that live next door. Oh, what are we gonna do? And then I walked over one morning because there was this massive cockroach underneath Jenny's bed, my roommate Jenny's bed, and JD was in there, and I was like, you have to come kill this cockroach. And he got all manly and walked into Jenny's room expecting like a fairly small cockroach, and this thing was massive. And that was the beginning of the friendship with the boys next door.
So that's how we met, and you only lived there for one semester before moving on to be president of Gamma Phi. And so you had to move back into the sorority house. What inspired you to do that?
Well, I had always kind of thought about being president in my sorority. I wanted to actually get involved a little more, be involved more in the university itself, and I felt like that was a really good opportunity. There wasn't a lot of people who showed interest in it in the same year as me, so I kind of just jumped at it, and I'm really, really happy I did it. It was a great experience. You learn a lot. There's some parts of it that are kind of gross and you don't really enjoy. But
like what, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, it's very dramatic, right? So there's a, you're the president of a sorority of 250 girls.
Yeah, I could see why that's true. I have two little sisters, and my life seems very dramatic just by that. I can't imagine trying to, you know, manage 250 sorority girls.
Sure, yeah. And yeah, it was super dramatic. I just remember one day during one of our recruitment days, I had like probably six different girls come in crying about one thing or another. And that's when I knew that my time was about up, because I don't deal well with crying people, but it's one of those things where you're just like, I don't understand how everyone is crying so much. But that being said, it was a really great experience. I met a lot of really cool people. And I generally, it gave me a really good look into like managing large groups of people.
Sure.
And it was just a really fun experience overall.
I was president of the comedy troupe at TCU for a while, and I really enjoyed it. And I agree that you definitely learn to some leadership skills and how to manage people and deal with certain problems. But you kind of hear people in leadership talk about how lonely it is at the top, right? And I definitely felt this a little bit managing Senseless Acts of Comedy was the name of the group. And I did have a co-president, and it was only 13 people, so it wasn't like I was managing as many people as you. Did you kind of feel that loneliness ever, I guess, in a leadership position like that?
Yeah, that's actually a really good way to put it. So I had an exec of about an executive board of about six other girls, I think. And they kind of understand what it takes. They're also dealing a lot with everyone in the organization. It is hard, though, because there's other parts of being president of a large sorority like that. Girls having to tell you personal issues that you can't tell to anyone else. Things that are tough like that, where you feel very alone, because you can't tell anyone. It's not your place to spread that information. And I think those were the moments when it was like, wow, it's really hard being the leader of something this large.
Yeah, I can totally see exactly what that would be like. That must have been tough, but you had your close friends, and you had the friends who still lived next door to me, and you came by to visit a lot, so that was fun. And you were involved in academics. I know we had a class together, but what was your major?
My major was strategic communication, so it was advertising and PR, and then I did a minor in business.
And why were you interested in strategic communications? What inspired you to do that?
Well, honestly, right off the bat, when I went to college, my dad was like, you know what? You should do business as your major. And I said no, because I didn't want to take calculus.
I had the exact same thing happen, and I tried it for a year before dropping it.
See, I didn't even try it. And so, looking back, I probably should have stuck with business. I went the route of strategic communications because I felt like it was something similar to what you would do in a marketing field, but a little more on the creative side, which was always really interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you just clearly had that interest and you stuck with it. What is the average college student changes their major three times, I think, or something like that?
Yeah.
I certainly changed mine a few times, or at least dropped things down to a minor and picked other stuff up. But, wow, good for you. That's really cool. And then, upon graduation, I really want to hear the story because I haven't heard it myself yet. You picked up and moved to Wisconsin. Now, you're from Boulder, Colorado, correct?
Correct.
That's where you grew up and went to high school?
Yep. I went to high school outside Boulder.
And then you came to Fort Worth to go to TCU and then Wisconsin. So where does that connection come in? Did you go for a job?
Yes, I went for a job. I had been looking for jobs basically all spring. And it just happened right after graduation, probably the week after, during finals week, around that time. I had two different opportunities fall into my lap. One was in Austin and one was in Wisconsin. So I graduated on Saturday. And then the following Tuesday, I flew up to Wisconsin for an interview. I really liked the company. It's a really cool vibe here. A lot of young people came back. They offered me the job, and I started June 1st.
Wow. So everything happened really quickly for you. What was it exactly about this company that really made you want to join? Like, you kind of made that decision so quickly. You said it was a cool vibe and young people. What was it like when you walked in for the interview?
The company, it's a healthcare company, right? So that's what is, you get some cool, fluffy feelings sometimes because you're doing things for a good reason. You're sure. Helping hospitals across the country. The atmosphere of the company itself is very quirky. If you have a chance to come up to Wisconsin and tour the campus, it's unbelievable. It's like the Disney World of office buildings.
Really?
Themed, yeah. There's like a wizarding campus and a storybook campus. And
That is so cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. Just a really cool environment to work in. You're working with a lot of people around your same age. So it's pretty easy to kind of get into the fold of everything and get going.
Yeah, absolutely. So, geez, I totally understand. If I had walked onto that campus, I think I would have taken a job there too. That's really awesome. But you still were moving to Madison, Wisconsin, and you didn't really have any connection there, did you? Did you know anybody before you moved?
No, I didn't know anyone, but I talked about it with my parents a lot. And I mean, I'm young. I was 22 years old. I feel like when you're young, it's the time to go out and do things that maybe make you feel uncomfortable and put yourself out there and try new things. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I think I would have always regretted it had I not moved up here. Even though most people are like, why Wisconsin? Like, that's not like a cool place. That's not like Los Angeles or New York City. But Madison's it's a pretty cool city, and I'm really, really happy that I made that leap.
Do you think it would have been as inspiring to go to if it was in Los Angeles or New York City? Just because those cities do have a lot of opportunity, but they're so big and large and so many different people go there. Was moving to Madison, Wisconsin, and kind of doing your own thing something fun for you?
Yeah, I loved it. I'm not a huge big city person. I'm not really drawn towards those large metropolises like some people are.
Sure.
I tend more on the smaller side of things. So that was one of the things that really drew me to Wisconsin. What was the question?
Well, I was saying, was it fun for you to kind of move off by yourself and do your own thing that nobody else was doing? And I could, just to kind of give an example, I was the first kid from my high school ever to go to TCU. And I moved to the state of Texas, and I didn't know anybody when I moved to the state of Texas. And so I did have that experience going off to college. I didn't, when I graduated, I knew people in Dallas when I moved over to Dallas, and I actually still live with one of my former college roommates. And so I didn't have that experience post-grad, but it was really fun for me to kind of tell all my high school friends, like, I'm going to do this by myself, and I'm going to go make a life for myself out there. And not that I'm going to forget about you guys, but this is just something I want to do. Did you have a similar experience?
Yeah, definitely. I felt like it was kind of my time to go do my own thing. When I had gone to college, I actually followed my older brother there. He had been a couple years above me, and so I kind of done what my siblings had done. So I was really ready to go off and do my own thing, and I felt like this was a good place to do it. There's a lot of great people up here. It was, I wanted to move somewhere where the people were nice, and welcoming, and that I definitely found that place. And I wanted to be far enough away that, like, I felt like I was doing my own thing, but still close enough where I could get a direct flight home whenever I wanted.
Yeah, that is really nice. Is the Madison Airport relatively, I guess, big that you can get flights whenever?
It's actually miniature. It's about 12 gates.
That's it? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, but because Denver is such a big airport, they have direct flights to and from Madison.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Okay, well, I want to talk about what you actually do in your day-to-day job. You said you worked for a healthcare company, Epic?
Yep.
And you are a project manager for them. What do you actually do?
So Epic is, just for background on what they do, they are a healthcare information technology company. They provide the electronic medical record for hospitals across the country. So when you go into the doctor and your doctor is documenting on you and you're telling them all this information, a lot of the time, most of the times now, because of some government regulations, that's within a computer system. And so that medical record can follow you from place to place, and Epic is that medical record. On my day-to-day job, I help install and implement the software at new hospitals. So I have a couple customers in a couple different states, and I travel down every couple weeks to those customers to help with their install. They're pretty long. They're about a year, year and a half for these installs. So you're going down to these customers for quite a bit of time. And you just work with the people there and make sure that the medical record has everything that they need. It includes everything that they would need to do their job. And then you take them live on a new medical record. It's a pretty big investment for a lot of hospitals, but I think it really helps long term.
Wow, it takes over a year to do this sometimes.
My first customer I got right off the bat, and I took them live on the software this past summer. So about a year.
And where was that customer that you were, or I don't know what information you're allowed to share, but where was that?
It was in Missouri.
So were you traveling to Missouri for what, a week or two at a time, or how did that work?
So you go down every other week, every 3 weeks, and you're there. So you fly out Monday, fly back to Madison on Tuesday. So you're at home for the weekends. And then while you're down there, you just work with the team on the hospital side.
Okay. And were you going with a crew from Epic? Like, how many employees would go with you?
So the ones I've been on have been where they're installing the full suite of the record. So my original team was probably around 30 people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they're pretty big teams, which is nice, though, because it's always nice traveling down together. It's a really great way to meet new people.
Sure. And what was Missouri like? I'll admit, I've never been to Missouri.
So Missouri was, I mean, it's different than what I expected, but it was like a fun, it was an interesting first place to go. Where I was, I probably won't visit again. So it's cool to be like, I was in this city for like a year and a half and I know it really well, but I'm never going to go back. But I could still give you restaurant recommendations if you're ever there.
Okay. That's good to know. What was the city in Missouri, just for the listeners?
It was Cape Girardeau in Southeast Missouri.
Okay. Well, listeners, if you're ever there, go ahead and contact Bailey and she's got recommendations for you.
Yeah.
So how did it feel to be living out of a hotel for most of your week? I assume that's what you were doing in Missouri?
Yep, and I'm still doing that today. I have a couple new customers today. But it's hard at first, but now it's just like part of my job. I'm very used to it. You start to get comfortable with the hotels. You have your routine when you're there. But it's always nice being home and being in your own bed.
Absolutely. And for context, what's the project that you're working on now?
So I have a couple. I have one that's in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay.
And then I have another one that is in Memphis/Jackson, Mississippi.
Okay, so you're traveling to both of those kind of throughout your schedule, like a week on somewhere, a week on elsewhere.
Correct, yeah.
Got it. Okay, that's so cool. I mean, just, I would think that it's really fun to travel, and I can see definitely missing home, but, you know, when the first year I lived with my good friend Benjamin Yoder, who I just interviewed for this podcast earlier this week, actually, and he would travel to St. Louis for work all week long, and then he'd come back for Dallas, and he really did enjoy it, but I've had such a different experience since I graduated, right? I've kind of have that typical schedule of working 8 to 5, 8:30 to 5:30 every day, and a lot of people think that sounds boring. I really do love my job, but it's a much more normal schedule. I go to work and then I go home afterwards. And so do you think that's kind of exciting for you that you have this opportunity to travel a little bit to these, I guess, parts of the country that you might not visit otherwise?
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what drew me to the job was they tell you up front that you're going to be traveling for your customers. You're going to be visiting different places. And again, it was one of those things where I'm young, I have this great opportunity presented to me, I might as well take it and run with it while I have the chance.
Very cool. Okay, so let's talk about the city of Madison. What is there to do there? I just am not very educated on the city of Madison.
So Madison, to put it in perspective for people in, like, say, Texas, is similar to Austin.
In terms of size?
Smaller in size, though. So population-wise, it's about 250,000, but there's University of Wisconsin is in Madison, and it has, like, a really nice capital feel. In the summer, there's a lot to do. So Madison sits on an isthmus, so there's two different lakes on either side of it. So there's a lot of boating, a lot of kayaking, paddle boarding, lots of outdoor activities. The summers up here are beautiful. It's not like sweltering heat like in Texas. The winters are a little bit of a different story. They're a little cold.
What does it get down to there?
So I think in December, you have highs in the negative. So there was a couple days when that high is -3, -4. But with wind chill, it's like -25.
Oh my, I can't even imagine. I don't think I've ever felt weather that cold.
Yeah, it's a completely different experience. It's like you walk outside and your face just is in pain because it's so cold out.
I've heard of people who live in weather that cold. Do you have to run outside, start your car, run back inside, wait for it to heat up, and then run back out?
I luckily have underground heated parking.
Oh, there you go. That's really convenient, I think.
I know. I'm living the life with it.
Wow. Okay, so that's cool that you like the city and it has that capital feel, but you said it doesn't really have a whole lot of, you know, concerts come through. It has the college, so you have the sports with that, but what are some of the bigger events that you might do on weekends or in your free time there?
For myself and my friends, a lot of the stuff that we do is just going out to eat food and finding activities here and there. So like a couple weekends ago, we went to play laser tag and then saw a monster truck rally.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
Nice warm indoor activities for when it's winter out. Mm-hmm. In the summertime, it's really nice to get outside and do things. There's a lot of similar to intramural type leagues where you can play like kickball or volleyball or frisbee, which is another really great way to meet people and get outside while it's nice. Mm-hmm. City-wise, a lot of it revolves around the university. So football, during football season, tailgates are always a huge deal. So we like to do stuff for that. There's, on Halloween, it has a really massive Halloween celebration on this street off the Capitol. So a lot of the stuff we're doing is kind of off of what college kids are doing, but that the whole city has kind of taken in as part of the culture.
That's really cool. It's like a really big college town in a way with 250,000 people there.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's just one massive college town.
Cool. And you talked about having these activities to do with your friends. I want to talk a little bit about making friends, because you moved there without knowing anybody. But it seems like you've kind of developed quite a community for yourself. Where did you meet your friends, or where do you meet new friends?
So most of my friends, or all of my friends that I hang out with right now, I met at work.
Okay, they're coworkers?
Yeah, so my company is about 8,000, 9,000 people. It's pretty large. So there's a lot of people that you're friends with at work that you never actually really see at work. And that's how my friends are. My roommate actually was one of my first friends out here, and I met her during our orientation. We kind of were confused about what we were supposed to be doing. So we started talking to each other, and we sat down. And we were talking about our living situation at the time, and she said that she was living with her grandmother, and I said I was subletting. And about 15 minutes after we met, we decided that we wanted to be roommates.
Wow, 15 minutes in. That's a quick friendship.
Yeah, it was a really quick friendship. So we moved in together about 2 months later, and we've been roommates ever since.
And you guys just totally hit it off still, and you guys are good friends?
Yeah, we're great friends, great roommates. It actually turned out way better than I could have ever hoped. But it's a similar sort of meeting situation for the rest of your friends, where you meet one person and then they know someone else and then you meet that person. And you just kind of develop those relationships and find the niche that fits best for you. And I was lucky enough to find that pretty quickly. I found a really great group of friends by like August. And I can't imagine my life up here without them now.
That's really cool, and I'm really happy to hear that. That's awesome that you've developed that community so fast and seem to really have just created a life for yourself all by yourself. That's a really unique thing. Something I really respect, just because I moved to Dallas and I had friends around me and I still struggled to do that. So I really respect someone who was able to do that. Okay, I have some more general questions I ask my guests, not necessarily specific to your situation, but I do, you know, want to hear about what you think. Some of them are serious, some of them aren't. What were your general emotions, fears, and excitements upon graduation?
I think the biggest fear, and I think it's a fear that everyone experiences, is just the fear of the unknown. A lot of people, I mean, you may not have a job lined up, and if you do, it's a completely different world than what you're used to. I mean, you're not going to school every day. Definitely different from college life, where you have big blocks of time when you can go run errands or get groceries or something like that. So I think not really knowing what life looks like after education is one of the biggest fears just across the board. And I think it presents itself in a couple of different ways. And people say, well, like, I'm not ready to be adulting or whatever. And it's really just not knowing and having to readjust your life to just a new way of living. But I also think it's really exciting to try something new and to be able to yet again have a chance to like reinvent yourself. So everyone goes to college with the hopes of being this brand new person. And you can do that, but you also get another chance at it once you graduate and get out into a different space. Which I think is really, really exciting, because it's really an opportunity to look at who you've been for the past couple years and see the people that you've interacted with and have a chance to make yourself better, which in turn can make your community better and make the world better. Sure. Based on your experiences.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Going back to what you were saying about it being a little scary with the unknown, I've kind of said this before, but the idea of graduating is the first time in our lives where we need to create goals for ourselves. Because when we're in high school, your goal in life is to get good grades and get into a college, right? When you're in college, your goal is to keep up with your studies, hopefully graduate and have a job. When you finally graduate and have a job, now you're in a unique situation because there's no timetable for goals anymore. I think that's exactly what you were saying there, is that you're kind of like, okay, now what? What do I do? And that is something I definitely struggled with for the first few months, that I was a little lost and just like, you know, I was so, I don't want to say successful in college, but I at least had goals and was always working towards them. And I struggled to kind of find a purpose after that. How do you look at goals now, and how do you Do you have 6 month or 5 year, 10 year goals?
Honestly, no, I don't. I think about, long term, I have a couple things that I want to do. Like, I want to make sure I move back closer to my parents and my sister and be able to live a life closer to my family again. But honestly, that's the only one that I consistently have. The rest of them are just more along the lines of living a life that I'm content in and happy in. And whether that be through the relationships with the people around me or within my job, I think a goal, I guess you could say stems from that, is just like realizing when you're in a bad situation and being able to have the audacity to recognize it and like move on and do better for yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think in college, at least for me, you don't treat yourself the best in terms of like food intake, behavior, maybe alcohol intake.
I second that.
Yeah. So I think because you have additional responsibilities, once you are out on your own, you can make goals for maybe taking better care of yourself to make yourself just a happier person overall.
Can I ask why you don't have long-term goals? I don't particularly either. I kind of have a similar thing. I'd love to live closer to my sisters someday, but they're younger than me. So that's, my youngest sister won't graduate from college until 7 years from now. And so that is something that's way off in the distance. But I'm kind of the same way. I kind of look at my life in six-month periods and kind of look at them as projects and say, all right, I'm going to do this for the next 6 months and reevaluate from there. But I don't particularly have 5 or 10 year goals. How come you don't?
I think the main reason I don't, is because a lot of these long-term goals revolve around career and like ability to make money or change you want to see. And at least for my career right now, I'm really happy where I am. I like my job. I like the people I'm with. And, because of that, I don't feel like I need a 5 year plan for what my life will look like career wise outside of that job. Like I want to be there. I want to succeed in my job. And I want to create good relationships with the people in that career. I think that's the main reason I don't have the goal. The other one is I honestly just don't think about it. I try to live in the moment. And because of that, I just don't think, what am I going to be doing 10 years down the line? When I think 10 years down the line, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be 34. That's so old. And then I try to think about something else.
I'm the exact same way.
Yeah. So I think it's just a matter of, I've never actually really sat down and planned my life out that far. I'm just kind of taking it as it comes.
Got it. I think I'm the exact same way. All right. How about a couple of fun questions? What color crayon would you be and why?
Ooh, crayon. That's a great question. I think I would be, I don't know how you say it. It was always my favorite crayon, the cerulean, the blue.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's like a lighter blue.
Yeah. But also kind of rich.
Okay. I like sure.
Because it's a nice bright color, but it's also very relaxing. And I try to be bright and happy, but also not overwhelming and stressful.
I think that's a good way to be. I like that answer. That's great. What would you do if you won the lottery tomorrow?
I would pay off my student loans.
Second that again.
And then I think I would pay back my parents for sending me to college, because they have done so much for me my entire life, and that's the least I can do. And then I would go on like a 2 month long vacation somewhere.
Would you quit your job?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think everyone is always like, I'm going to quit my job because it means you don't have any responsibilities. But I kind of like the routine of having a job and knowing what my next day is going to look like. Like, I know I'm going to get up tomorrow at like 6:30 and I'm going to get dressed. I'm going to go to work.
Sure.
I like the routine of it, and I like what I do, so I don't think I would quit. And also, I don't have enough budget responsibility yet to make sure I'm not spending it all at once, so I think I would still want that income.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think the first thing I would do is get a financial advisor.
Yeah.
Okay, how about, on a scale of 1 to 10, how intolerable do you find baby pics on Facebook?
I actually really like them.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, why?
I think babies are adorable. I love seeing their pictures. They brighten my day. There's actually not a lot of them on my Facebook right now. It's mostly just close family friends. I'm sure as I get older and as more people I know start having babies, I'll get annoyed. But babies are so cute and they're so happy and people always share really cute pictures and it just makes me happy to see happy little babies.
How about engagement photos?
I don't really like those. I think they're a little annoying.
It's certainly kind of a little intimidating, and then you realize where you are in your life, right? So that's, or at right. least that's how I feel. This is a fun one. If you could get rid of one U.S. state, which would it be and why?
What would I get rid of? I would get rid of, like, Ohio or something like that. I feel like Ohio is just boring.
Ohio? You know? But they have, what, 2 football teams and a couple NBA teams? LeBron James is from there?
Yeah, but, like, no one has ever, like, I guess you could say the same about Wisconsin, so I probably shouldn't be saying that. No one's ever like, I'm going to move to Cincinnati when I'm older.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, Ohio, I think, would be one. Although I feel bad getting rid of any state because I love them all.
All right. Well, I'm not sure that any state is currently in danger, although although who knows these days, right?
Who knows? Maybe California.
Yeah, California will split off by itself. Okay, I guess a little more on the serious side. Is there a person, book, movie, advertisement, or podcast that inspires you to be successful? So basically, what inspires you to be successful?
This podcast.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. That's the answer I was looking for. Okay, moving on. No, sorry. Go ahead.
Honestly, I think it's my dad. He grew up on a farm in western Kansas his entire life and growing up on a farm is not a super lucrative way to grow up. But he put himself through college and got a good job out of college in Wichita, Kansas, and kind of made a life for himself, a successful life for himself. He met my mom and had us 4 kids and was able to do things that other people in his family probably haven't had a chance to do being from western Kansas. He's always been very motivated to make himself better and make life for us better because of because of how he grew up. So I think that's just his outlook on life and what life can really be like has really helped shape what inspires me and how I want to be as a person.
Got it. Yeah, that's really cool. And you do hear people get inspired by their parents, and you hear a lot of success stories come out of that. So I think that's a very legitimate resource to have to draw from when you try to pursue success. So that's cool to hear. Great. Do you date? And if so, where do you meet people?
I do date. I currently have a boyfriend.
Okay.
Yeah, we met at work.
Oh, like, I'm noticing a trend here.
I know. I have a problem with breaking out from work. He was on my first project together.
So you guys traveled to the romantic city in Missouri?
Of Cape Girardeau. We didn't actually start dating until after the project was over, though. So, yeah. But I have a lot of friends who are out there dating right now. Honestly, the biggest way all of them are meeting people right now is, like, Tinder and Bumble. They go on Tinder and Bumble dates all the time, and a couple of them have been, like, pretty successful in it.
Sure. It's definitely a resource that people use to find dates. I've been on Tinder and Bumble throughout, the last year or whatever it's been. And, you know, you get some you meet some interesting people. It's just hard to filter out people who are, you know, there for fun. And I am open on this podcast and saying that dating is definitely not a priority for me right now. I am much more interested in pursuing other things. But, you know, every so often, and I said that on a previous podcast, and somebody who listened said, well, Connor, you do go on a Tinder Bumble date or have somebody set you up on a date every now and then. And I go, yes, but I don't necessarily consider that because I'm not taking it super seriously. I'm just out there having fun and trying to meet new people. And You know, I think I've met more friends on those applications than I have anything romantic, right? So I totally see, you know, that your friends will use that in Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm happy to hear that you found something. That's cool. How long have you guys been together?
Just a couple months, not long. It's pretty recent. And I wasn't necessarily looking for anyone either. It just kind of came along and things happened. But I'm happy.
That's how the best ones happen, right? When you're not looking, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Cool. And does he listen to this podcast?
Well, I'll probably have him listen to this podcast now.
Okay, I like him then. All right. Cool. So do you believe in sacrificing happiness, current happiness, to get ahead at all?
I honestly don't. I don't think so. I think my own happiness is more important than how successful I am in the long term. And I know success and happiness can kind of coincide with each other, but if I had to give up being happy where I am right now just so I could make like $2 million, I don't think I would do it, because then you get sad and depressed, and that's really no way to go through life.
Mm-hmm. I think I agree. I've had different answers to this question versus the people that I interview. And some people do say that you kind of need to make some sacrifices in your everyday life to further your career or further your relationships or whatever it is. And I do agree that you do need to do that, but I think you don't necessarily need to look at it as either suffering or sacrificing. You can look at it as just being a part of life and try to enjoy as much of life still as you can. So I'm definitely on that spectrum. So I do agree with you there.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the sacrificing part that you just said. I feel like there's always going to be days when you're not happy because of some sort of outside environmental issue, whether it be a bad day at work or a bad day with someone you care about. And I think you're right. That's just part of life. And that's not anything you can predict. But I think in the overall scheme of things, one bad day doesn't necessarily represent your happiness as a whole.
I think this might be a little bit of why I'm afraid of a relationship currently, because I love my freedom and I could have a, you know, rough day at work or something, but because I don't have that commitment when I get off work, I feel very free, and that's something I'm definitely not willing to let go of right now. And I'm sure that's gonna turn off any girl who listens to this podcast from ever wanting to date me, but that's just something that I struggle with, and I'm still trying to kind of figure out. I'm sure I'll have an interest in dating or a relationship again someday, but for now, I think that freedom is really why I don't necessarily mind sacrificing some things or having a rough part of my day, because I know I'm going to have that freedom to make it up later. I know you are in a relationship now, but how do you kind of deal with that, the freedom to do what you want versus other commitments and feeling like you're giving up your time?
I think it's just it's a balancing act, and making sure that you're putting the effort towards things that you care about. Like, I care about hanging out with my friends, but I also want to hang out with him, right? So it's, can we put it all into one time? Can we all hang out together? Usually yes, but I also care about like spending time with myself and getting that self-reflective time, and making sure that I'm putting in an effort so I can do all of that. And if that's sacrificing like other things that I used to like to do, I think it's a matter of choosing which one is going to be more important to me long term.
I like that. And I've said this on the podcast before, but in terms of me time, I am a big believer that me time is doing anything where you wouldn't rather be doing anything else. So you might be out with friends or your boyfriend or even at work or whatever it is, but as long as you wouldn't rather be doing anything else, that should count as me time, right? At least in my opinion. And so I don't think me time needs to be sitting on the couch watching Netflix, whatever it is. I do like to meditate and spend some time, you know, 10 minutes of my day sitting in quiet by myself. But I don't think that's 100% necessary to really relaxing, right? Relaxing is just forgetting about the rest of the world for a bit.
Right. I completely agree. I find, like, my most relaxed state is when I'm just reading a good book. Because it's something you can pick up and forget about everything else that's going on, and you feel so much better. And I think it's just to each their own. Like, if for you it's meditating, for me it's reading. For someone else, it might be watching, like, 25 episodes of Netflix.
And don't get me wrong, I like to do that sometimes, too.
I do, too. But I think it just really depends on the person and what makes you happy.
I completely agree. I am a big reader myself. What are you reading currently?
I just finished a book this past weekend called The Good Girl.
Okay.
I'm working on a new one, but if you have any recommendations, please give them to me.
I definitely do. I'm really into, I mean, kind of along the themes of this podcast, I'm into life improvement and performance improvement, not necessarily physically, but career-wise or mental states, books that improve yourself and stuff. I don't have a whole lot of fiction, if you're into that, but I'm sure the listeners would have plenty of suggestions to you. We'll get your contact information out for them later.
Yeah. Any sort of, I love mysteries. Any sort of great mystery, I'll eat right up.
Awesome. Okay. Well, we'll get to that in a second. But this was actually my next question. What would you write a book about outside of your career? It can't be career related.
Ooh, what would I write a book about? I think I would do a children's book. I think I would definitely do a children's book. Like a cute little children's book about like elephants with like a cute little story at the end about like, I love my family type of thing.
Yeah. Because some kind of really family oriented message that the kids will realize and go love their parents afterwards.
Yeah. I just don't think I'm cut out to write like a big, like either like a self-help book or a fiction book, but, and I always liked reading books as a kid, and they kind of shaped my tastes in books later on. So I think I'd do a children's book.
Well, my plan after this podcast, hopefully over the next year or two, I conduct enough interviews that I can take some of these bits from all these interviews and turn it into a book. So that is my plan. And so you'll be featured in it. So,
cool.
So there's a start, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's one. What do you wish you knew upon graduation that you know now?
I think the biggest one is time management.
Okay.
I think in college you have a lot of free time to get stuff done, even though a lot of it's spent studying. But when you work, you have minimum like 8-9 hours a day when you can't go out and do things that you need to do, like laundry or grocery shopping or like picking up bathroom cleaning supplies.
That's a thing. Yeah, that's a thing you have to do.
It's a thing you have to do that I felt like in college, your like parents came out and then bought it for you and it lasted all year because no one cleans their house in college, or your parents would call you and be like, have you cleaned the toilet lately? And then you'd go out and buy it. But making time for yourself to actually get chores done on the weekends was something that I kind of never even thought about until after I graduated. So if you are graduating, make sure you know that you actually have to do like your own chores on weekends, because during the week you come back and you're just so tired from work that it's really hard to get anything done.
I agree. I'd never go to the grocery store during the week. Like, I don't think I have once.
I don't either. It's just hard to get yourself up and out after a long day at work.
Mm-hmm. Are you a morning person?
I am a morning person.
Even on the weekends?
Even on the weekends. I did not used to be. And when I say I'm a morning person, I mean I wake up early. I have a hard time waking up, but I do get up at like around 7:30 or 8 most of the time on the weekends.
Oh, yeah, that totally counts. I mean, who cares if you're tired? You're up, so.
I'm up, yeah.
That's when I find the best time to be productive is. I'm definitely a morning person, and I'm 100% the most productive in the morning.
I agree. And you can get out and do stuff before everyone else is out doing stuff.
Yeah, and then you feel like you've accomplished so much and it's only noon or whatever it is. Like,
right, that's how I feel. And instead of, like, sleeping till 10 and then laying around for 2 hours and then it's noon and you're like, I haven't done anything.
I know, and that is something that I think a lot of college kids do. And when you have a full-time job and you're getting up at 6:30, 7 a.m. during your week, you kind of get in that rhythm on the weekends too, and it just makes you want to get up and be productive. And
yeah,
that's something I love to do, and I love to go like exercise early in the morning on the weekends or go finish my chores or whatever I need to do.
Yeah, and it also made me really value time outside. Mm-hmm. Which sounds weird, but in college you're always walking around to classes, like during all the seasons you're always outside, and it's really hard to get outside. I mean, especially in Wisconsin when it's cold in the winter, it makes you really appreciate like a nice, warm, sunny day. Mm-hmm. And being able to just even just sit out on my porch.
Yeah, and read your book. I bet that's really nice. I really was frustrated with that upon graduation, because throughout college, when I'd wear my Fitbit, I'd hit my step goal so easily just walking over to class. But unless I work out, I don't come anywhere close on my regular job. I don't necessarily work at a desk anymore. I do have a desk at work, and I'm bouncing around the office, but it's not the same as walking to class, and you're basically walking, 2 miles just from classes over the course of your day. You know, it's a big difference. So I totally agree with you.
Yeah, I think that was also a big wake-up call.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's one. What should you start, stop, and keep doing to improve yourself and become the person you want to be?
Like from college into post-grad life or just in general?
I'm kind of talking about stuff right now going on. This could be general advice that people will be able to apply to themselves, but you can use yourself as a specific example of what are things that you want to start, stop, and keep doing to just improve things.
Starting wise, at least for me personally, I need to exercise more. I really think mm-hmm. that'll make my life a little better, even in the long term. If I exercise more now, I think I'll be happier in 15 years that I was exercising. That's definitely something I want to start, because I don't like doing it now, but I think I need to work on finding ways to exercise that.
It really improves not just your physical attributes, but your mental state as well. It just makes you so much happier.
Yeah, definitely. So that's definitely one thing to start. Stop. I think I still go into phases when I feel like I'm back in college and I'm drinking. And then I wake up the next morning and I'm like, that was a terrible idea.
And your body doesn't recover the same way as it did when you were 21 years old.
Yeah, and we're not old by any means, but when I was 20 and I drank like a horse, I would wake up the next day and like go get food and be fine. And now it's like, wow, this is not fun.
I completely agree, yeah.
I think stopping all of that nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Keep doing. I think what I would keep doing is reading my books, because I think it's a really great escape. And I want to make sure I keep, I guess, putting myself out there and not being afraid of meeting new people or accepting new experiences, because so far it's worked out really well for me. And I think it really does benefit you. Similar to exercise, it benefits you, your mental health, when you're trying new things and meeting new people and getting all of these different like tastes of life.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's a really good one to have. All right, Bailey. Well, I just have one question left for you. What is your parting advice to make the young adult life live up to as much as it can be?
I think it's really important not to look back on your college years and think, man, that was the best 4 years of my life. It's never going to get better. I think it's important to like keep a forward-thinking mind and know that your life is going to be as good as you make it. And so college was really fun because you have a fun group of people that you're with all the time and a fun atmosphere, but you can make that kind of life anywhere. So live in the mindset that I am in the best time of my life, the best period of my life, and I think it will be.
Awesome. I really like that. That's great parting advice. Okay, well, thank you so much for being on this podcast, Bailey. You've been a great guest, and I've really loved having this conversation with you. Real quick, where can the listeners contact you if they have any further questions?
Yeah, they can just contact me on Facebook. There's about 5 Bailey McNeils on Facebook. I'm the one in the white t-shirt throwing the frog sign.
Oh, well, there you go. Go TCU. Okay, so you can find her on Facebook, and that's B-A-I-L-E-Y. McNeil is what? M-C-N-E-A-L?
Yep, that's it.
Awesome. Okay, well, thank you so much, Bailey, and thank you, listeners, for listening to this podcast. This has been another episode of The Next 4 Years. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.